You know, when you pick up your Bible and you read the life of Jesus Christ, you're struck by one great overpowering conclusion. And that is that Jesus Christ knew where he was going. He was on a track, heading in a direction. His entire life was ordered by one great objective. Everything he did, everything he said, was part of a pattern, a divine pattern. And his life and the events of his life had significance because each event contributed to an ultimate purpose. And not for 1 minute did Jesus Christ ever lose track of his goal. Never once. Never for a split second did Jesus Christ ever lose track of his goal. Moment by moment, if you take a careful reading of the life of Christ, you'll discover that he disclosed God's strategy for world conquest. There was nothing haphazard. He was on business for God. When I read the life of Jesus Christ, it reminds me of a great general who was sitting with his war plans out in front of him and plotting his course of battle. And of this you can be assured, Jesus Christ planned to win. He conceived a plan that would not fail. Now, it all had a rather modest beginning. It all started when he met two rather ordinary men, a man named John and a man named Andrew. And Andrew then, in turn, brought along a fellow named Peter. And then Jesus found a man named Philip. And then Philip went along and found a man named Nathanael, and so it went. And admittedly, these were rather ordinary men, but one thing characterized their life. They had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. They did not dabble in sin along the way. They did not dabble with that which was good along the way. They had their sights set on the best, and they never lowered their sights. And this hunger and thirst for righteousness resulted in their being available, being teachable, and being willing to pay the price of following Christ, whatever it cost, wherever he led. Now, his plan was to train these men, because everything depended on them if the world would believe on him through their word, as he said later. Now, one way to learn what a person really has on his heart, excuse me, is to pray with that person. If you want to learn what is in the heart of a man or a gal, pray with that person and see what it is that wells up from their heart in prayer. And I'd like to have you turn with me just for a moment to John, the 17th chapter. John, the 17th chapter, and we will listen to the Son of God pray. Let's start reading with verse 6. And where we come across the phrase, the men or they or them, I'll take the liberty of substituting a word or two in there so you can get the force of this prayer. Starting with verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine these men were, and thou hast given me them. And these men have kept thy word. Now these men have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto these men the word which thou gavest me. And these men have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And these men have believed that thou hast sent me. I pray for these men. I pray not for the world, but for these men which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in these men. Now I am no more in the world, but these men are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name these men whom thou hast given me, that these men may be one as we are one. While I was with these men in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the Son of God, or the Son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Do you get the force of this? The main thing he's doing in praying for these men. Look at verse 14. I have given these men thy word. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take these men out of the world, but thou shouldst keep these men from the evil one. Verse 16. These men are not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify these men through thy truth. Verse 18. If thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent these men into the world. Verse 21. That these men all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that these men also may be one, that the world may believe. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And he repeats that prayer in verse 23. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Note the heart that he had for these men. Now why? Why was he all wrapped up in these few men? Well, now you'll find Jesus Christ always doing all he could for the multitude. But he devoted himself. He devoted his life primarily to these few men who would be world-conquering disciples. That was his objective. This was the genius of his strategy. Now, I'm going to give you two things now. I'm going to give you what I believe to be the genius of his strategy and the essence of his training program. The genius of his strategy was to devote his life to a few men. And having called these men, he made it a practice to be with these men. And that was the essence of his training program. Just letting these men follow him around. Letting these men follow him around. Jesus Christ was the school. Jesus Christ was the training program. Jesus Christ was the curriculum. Jesus Christ was the campus. Jesus Christ was the dean of men. Jesus Christ was the entire training program. His entire training program was his life. And he issued a call for a few men to drop everything they had and come, take up a cross, and follow him. And tonight, he issues that same identical call. Tonight, Jesus Christ looks out over this assembly. And he looks at you, not as I'm looking at you, because he looks at your heart. He looks way down deep inside your life, where you live, the kind of person that you really are. He looks at you not on the surface. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And tonight, Jesus Christ glances around the room. And he knows. And he is excited about the fact that there are some of you in this room tonight whose hearts burn to be involved with him as he continues this world-conquering mission. You see, Jesus Christ got excited about the fact that a few men followed him. You can tell that by the intensity that he lived his life. And the last few months of his life, he didn't let those men out of his sight. He was all involved with those men. And tonight, he wants to get involved with you, just as intensely as he did with those men. He wants to get all involved in your life. And tonight, in your heart of hearts, you'll hear the Son of God saying, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If any man will come after me, let him give up all right to himself, and taketh his cross daily, and follow me." And he issues that to men and women whom he wants to make disciples. And a disciple is basically a learner or a follower. Who is it that wants world-conquering disciples, as we see our little sign here? Who wants that? Everybody wants that. New York Life Insurance. They want men who will sell their souls to go out and make $1 million for themselves. General Motors wants men who will sell their souls and give up everything to keep them at the top. AT&T, General Dynamics, Boeing Aircraft, they will all come around to your campus, and they'll all send around a slick representative, all dressed up in the latest stuff, to tell you about the town in which the plant is located, to tell you about all the things that go on in those lovely little spots of theirs, and all the money you can make. And they'll really lay it out, because I've heard them do it. Everybody wants men like that. Everybody wants men like that. And they all offer a pile of money, lots of prestige, financial security, and all that goes with it. Now, Jesus Christ has never changed the conditions of his call. Never once. He says the servant is no better than his Lord. If you follow me, you'll have it no better than I had it. The servant is no better than his Lord. And if you decide to accept my challenge and follow me, you'll have it no better than I had it. And he may show you his hands and his side. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of God has not where to lay his head. Buddy, if you decide to accept the challenge of Jesus Christ, don't expect to have it better than Christ had it. Tonight, Jesus Christ says, "I want men who care nothing for the world's empty praise. I want men who care nothing for security and comfort. I want men who care nothing for financial gain. I want men who care nothing for popularity and prestige. I just want men who care. Who care that this world is sick." And if you don't believe that, pick up the last Life magazine. Turn to about the middle section and read about Sunset Strip. Fellas and gals your age tonight doing things that you can't even imagine. Sick. I want fellas and gals who care. Care that this world is sick. Care that this world is teetering on the brink of disaster. Who care about something that's bigger than their own miserable little life. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Tonight, the only thing that Jesus Christ offers you as he comes on your campus and sits down to interview you for his job opportunity and all the benefits that go with it, the only thing that Jesus Christ offers you tonight is life. With a capital L. Life. A challenging, adventurous, meaningful, joyful life on a higher plane. Without difficulty? No. Like a great man of our generation, he offers you also blood, sweat, and tears. In fact, much of what you get involved in may be characterized by those three things: blood, sweat, and tears. Well, then what will I gain for myself? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, what security do I have? Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Gain? Security? No. Well, then what is your basic offer, Lord? I am come that they might have life, and might have it more abundantly. He offers you life. He offers you his life. All of his life he is willing to share with you if you are willing to share all of your life with him. Tonight, Jesus Christ offers you the opportunity to be involved in the most noble, the most exciting, the most challenging thing available during your days, the opportunity to fulfill the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The opportunity to reach this world for Christ in your generation. Well, where does it start? One word. Surrender. Surrender all your dreams, all your plans, all your ideas. Be willing to leave all the Mickey Mouse, all the tinsel, all the froth for something that is real and will last. One word. Surrender. That's all. Surrender. Now, I've been around long enough to know that whenever we get a crowd together this size, any place, under any condition, there are always those in the crowd who have never received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. For some reason or other, this is always true. It's always wrong to say always. Okay, I agree with that. But for some reason or other, this is always true. Some of you sitting there tonight still have control of your will. You have never surrendered your life to Christ. You don't know what it means to be born again into the family of God. And this next verse of Scripture is going to shock you. And this is going to come as a surprise to you. But at this moment, at 18 minutes till 9, Jesus Christ himself, the eternal Son of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, that person patiently stands at the door of your heart and knocks and waits to be invited into your life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I know of no more gracious thought in the entire scripture that the one who made you, the one who invented life, the creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord of glory, patiently stands and waits for you to open the door of your heart and invite him in. Now, when I say the door of your heart, this is the door of your life, your personality, your heart, everything you are and have. He waits to come in and take that over. And as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Way down in your heart of hearts, do you know for sure that Jesus Christ himself dwells in your life? You say, well, I'm not sure. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ were to walk through that door over there and come here and stand, which he did one day, you recall, as you read the scriptures, God himself in the person of Christ walked this earth. What if tonight he were to come in and stand there and you looked at him? What would be your first reaction? Would your first reaction be to come and kneel at his feet and say, Lord Jesus, we've walked together and talked together and fellowshiped, and now it's so wonderful to see you? Or would you hesitate? Do you feel way down in your heart of hearts that you would need an introduction? Would you sit there and say, I hope somebody would take me up there and introduce him to me, because I'm not sure. In fact, I know he wouldn't know me. If that's your case tonight, right now, you could surrender your life to the Son of God and invite him into your heart. And he would come into your life and change that life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's willing to do that right now for you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you the gift of eternal life. He'll give you the assurance that Bo spoke about tonight. If you'll but surrender your life to him and invite him to come in. Now, I also know that when we get this many people together, there are some of you who think you're Christians, and you may well be, but when you're all alone, you don't act like it. In your thoughts, your motives, you're still basically living for self. And tonight, it's as if you're traveling down the road of life, and you know the Son of God wants to go the way with you. And it's not a matter of having him in the back seat. It's not a matter of having him in the side with you. What you need to do tonight is slide over and give Jesus Christ the wheel and say, Lord Jesus, tonight, from now on, I'm going to give you the driver's wheel. You've got the wheel. I don't want to go my own way anymore. I'm sick of it. Tonight, I would like to surrender my life to the Lordship of Christ. Now, there are others of you that are sitting there saying, Lee, I could never be a world-conquering disciple. You don't know me. I'm just not that type. Good. Great. That's the attitude that you need. Because remember the call. The call is to follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's the call. The call is to follow Christ. And he will make you fishers of men. Jesus Christ will equip you. Jesus Christ will train you. Earlier this year, I decided I want to learn how to fish. So Rod Sargent, whom you'll get a chance to meet later on in the conference, Rod's an expert along these lines. He knows all about it. He's an outdoorsman. He goes packing out in the back of these mountains when it's way below zero and come back and his face is all cracked and his lips are cracked and his hands are all cracked and he tries to button his coat and blood runs down. He's, you know, it's just, really, that's the way he is. And he thinks this is fun. He thinks that's... He's got guns and he's got fishing gear and he's got all manner of stuff like this and horses and he's the outdoor type. Me, I like foam rubber and push buttons and, you know, central heat. Not Rod. He lets you out in a mountain somewhere in a big snowstorm and then really live. Well, so Rod took me and he equipped me. Gave me all the equipment I needed. Then he trained me. And pretty soon I was going, you know, and I caught one. Things jumped around. I was jumping around, you know, reeled it in. It was exciting, man. It was a big deal. Don't you worry about the fact that you could never be that. Just don't worry about it. Jesus Christ has got all the equipment you need, and he's willing to fully equip you. Then Jesus Christ is willing to take the time to train you. And then Jesus Christ will make this world one great big trout stream. That will be all there will be in this world. Just one great big trout stream. And it will constantly flow by you. You wake up in the morning and there it'll be. You know? You'll go out during the day and there it'll be. I mean, everywhere you look, there'll be this beautifully well-stocked trout stream. Just gobs of fish going by all the time. This tremendous, great, big, world-encompassing trout stream, he'll equip you, he'll train you, and then he'll say, okay, fish. And you can spend the rest of your life doing just that. Is that exciting? I can't think of anything more exciting than that. But you've got to give up a few ideas you've got. You know, you've got to give up these little ideas about self and security and all this other Mickey Mouse and get involved in the big thing. You want to do that? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, tonight, as I consider these verses in thy word, and consider the person of Jesus Christ, and consider what he wants to do with my life and the life of every fellow and gal in this room, Lord, tonight I get excited. And Lord, we're humbled to think that you would do this for us, that you would be willing to equip us, that you would be willing to train us, that you would be willing to give us your life. And as we just have a moment of silent prayer now, I wonder, those of you who've never been born anew into the family of God, you've never taken the step of salvation and invited Christ into your heart, what better time than now? If you would pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord God, I want to give myself to you tonight. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Lord, tonight, give me the gift of eternal life. Give me the assurance of heaven. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And there are others. Mentally, right now, why don't you just slide over and give Jesus Christ the wheel and say, Lord, take it. Take control of my life. Lord, equip me. Lord, train me. Lord, I want to go out and be involved with the thing that you were involved with every moment of every day that you walked the earth and every moment of every day that you've been sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, getting the message of salvation to the ends of the earth. And Lord, tonight we're thankful for thy word, which is clear and plain and easily understood. And we pray that we might have hearts to respond to thy call upon our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.